Mark Keane. Mark, good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much and good afternoon to you and your listeners, and thanks for having us on today.
Mark, we have touched base with you on a number of occasions, mostly about the hardship being experienced by members of the Defence Forces by way of poor pay, poor work conditions, their families, etc. But now they're not even bringing them home on time when they finish tours of duty abroad.
Yes, that correctly so. That's something that broke, unfortunately, on Wednesday. We've been very proactive as yesterday highlighting this issue, and late yesterday evening we were informed that the troops finally will get home on Sunday evening, stroke Sunday morning. So we're very hopeful of that they'll be reunited with their loved ones on Sunday.
Mark, we have spoken time out and number about what is perceived as the lack of basic respect by our politicians for the members of the Defence Forces. But from my understanding of this, we can't lay the blame this time at the door of our politicians, because seemingly it's the UN that's supposed to organise this, am I right?
Yes, it's matching off with the UN mission, and the troops are mandated to serve in Lebanon and Syria for 6 months. But in saying that, the minister was recently over there himself in New York at United Nations mission headquarters to give a brief. It wouldn't be on the realm of possibility that he could have then inquired, was everything in place, had the security clearance, had the clearance for the European Airlines, had all that been put in place as the time frame the troops were coming home within a matter of weeks.
Mark, you are the president of PD Forum, which represents the Defence Forces. Paul Keogh is the junior minister with responsibilities. When is the last time you spoke to him or he spoke to you?
I briefly met the minister yesterday. The two of us were being interviewed. I didn't directly speak with the minister yesterday. I spoke with an aide of his, and throughout the course of yesterday, we were in constant contact with the department. It would have been in maybe 2 weeks ago is the last time I would have met the minister at a function as such, an official military function.
Yeah, but outside of that, I mean, when is the last time, we'll say for argument's sake, that he rang up and said, Mark, listen, if you're around, will you drop into the office? I want to know how things are going in the army.
The structure, unfortunately, doesn't allow for such direct contact. It's usually done through the chain of command. It's a military organisation. It's done that way, unfortunately, at times.
So basically what you're telling me is that he gives PD4 a lip service but doesn't actually recognise them officially as such?
I'd like to think we have a good working relationship with the minister. He attends our conference. We do try to have meetings throughout the year, but the way the structure is brought in under the FRS6, we deal with mainly the principal civil servants of the department and military management.
Mark, we are looking and hearing continuously, and I know we have spoken to you before and we've spoken to Gerry as well in relation to this, comments made by the Taoiseach about, you know, people in uniform with guns on the border, etc. Now, I think they were probably ill-judged and definitely ill-timed, those comments. But the default position seems to be always the army are knocking around there, or indeed the Defence Forces is wrong to call them the army. The Defence Forces are knocking around there. They can be used for this, they can be used for that. We saw it particularly, I suppose, during the Pope's visit. And yet, to this day, on the 5th of April, in the year of 2019, you have members of the Defence Forces and their families living hand to mouth. And that, by the way, Mark, is before we even address the plight of ex-members. When, in the name of God, number one, are you going to be properly recognised for the work you do? And number two, properly remunerated for it?
If I may, there is the missed opportunity, I believe, personally, that when 2016 came and 2013, when we honoured the founding of the volunteers in 2016 with the reflection of the Easter Rising, that was something the state could have taken an opportunity to recognise the service that, and the loyal, dedicated service that our members gave to this country. not just alone in the UN peacekeeping missions, such as Congo, Lebanon, Syria, Chad, or Liberia, but also our own troubles here on the border when the state needed our soldiers to stand firm. Also, to deal with the pay, we're awaiting the results of the Public Pay Commission. We're led to believe that will be published around June. We've made a 130-page submission to that, a quite substantive submission. We're quite confident that we can stand over everything in that. Our members, you can satisfy need, you can't satisfy greed. And our members are not greedy by any means. So I'd like to think that as when that report is finalised, that they will look favourably on upon our members and try to rectify some of the cuts that were enforced on our members previously.
For the ordinary private in the Defence Forces at the moment, Mark, and let us say that he is married with two or three young children and his wife doesn't work, how hard is it, in real terms, for them to make ends meet?
It's very hard because, unfortunately, we don't attract a premium rate of pay for overtime. What I mean by that is they receive a salary not enough in, like everyone else, but the hours they work outside of that is not reflected in the premium rate of pay. It does not attract the premium rate of pay. If we take a bank holiday or a Sunday or New Year's Day or Patrick's Day or any days like these, you know, traditional days people have off to spend with their families, they're in receipt of €52 before tax, PRSI, Universal Social Charge. You know, they're walking away from that after a 24-hour duty with €20. Now, the frequency of those duties is as high as 6 or 9 duties a month in certain areas. We also have members of the Defence Forces being bussed from Finnair Camp down to Dublin to do duties because we're so short personnel. We've members of Naval Service at sea for long periods of time as well for very little reward financially. Also, and I understand people don't join the Defence Forces to become, you know, to endear themselves with money-wise, but still, it's an old-fashioned principle, loyalty and patriotic duty, but still, that doesn't pay the bills, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, we have seen figures, Mark, and I can't remember whether it was you or Jerry I discussed it with you, or it was discussed with you, the amount of members of the Defence Forces who are on supplementary social welfare benefits and payments in order, literally, as I said earlier when I was asking you the question, just to make ends meet, not to live a high life or anything, you know. And yet, you know, let's be honest, these are the people who are being asked to lay down their lives. And just in case people think I'm over dramatising it, members of the Defence Forces have lost their lives in the course of their duty.
Unfortunately, we have lost members, and it's not that long ago, both overseas in Lebanon, also at home in this country, unfortunately, during the darkest days of the Troubles, alongside members of Garda Síochána, who have paid the ultimate sacrifice and have put their lives and laid down their lives, as you said. Like the figures I do not have on the amount of people on this, but in my opinion, it doesn't matter if it's 1 or 100, it's still wrong. You know, nobody should be forced to get paid, you know, to go cap in hand on the Thursday morning to supplement their wages. The most, you know, the most anybody should, you know, the least, I should say, sorry, that our members should be getting is a living wage, something that they can feed their families on, that they can support their families and put a roof over their heads.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And as I say, Mark, that's before we even talk about ex-members of the Defence Forces and the strife that they're in and the troubles they're facing and the homeless issue among them. Coming back, I suppose, to why we're talking to you this afternoon, Mark. Those soldiers from the 58th Infantry Battalion, they will be home. Is it tomorrow morning or Sunday morning?
Sunday is what we're hearing. The Minister released the statement late just afternoon, as I said, and we're expecting them to be into Dublin Airport late Sunday morning.
Mark, just as we're talking about this, there's just something that I think the people should know. Their replacements are out there, and they are in position already. So the question, I suppose, that begs to be asked here is, they didn't walk out there. So they had to be flown out in... Now, I know that there is a handover of positions and all that, But surely that the handover could be done within a period of 24 hours, and quite simply that the 58th Infantry Battalion get back on the plane, or is it that they couldn't afford to keep the plane on the ground for 24 hours while one crew got off and another crew got on?
See, what happens is we move them in stages. We couldn't withdraw the troops we had there in one go, so we do it in stages. Unfortunately, in an ideal world, 24 hours would be, you know, would be great, but unfortunately, as I said, it's a very volatile situation. It's effectively a war zone they're in, so we need to get boots on the ground. They need to, you know, get briefed, thoroughly briefed. They need to get out on the ground. They need to see what's happening. They need to meet the contacts locally that we, our members, have made. They need to absorb everything that's happening, and that takes a week to 2 weeks at least for that corporate knowledge to be transferred over. We then need to get our troops ready to get them home. They've been out there, as I said, 6 months. It's a long time. There's a process in that too as well, you know, for our members to readjust to coming home again. They've been away from families for a long time. They've witnessed things that, you know, out there, which, matching off, aren't very pleasant. So we need to, you know, have those people ready to come home as well to meet their loved ones.
Yeah, that's a really good point and very well made indeed, Mark. Look, I'm conscious that there may be family members and loved ones listening to us this morning of members of the Defence Forces, but, and again, I suppose I'm asking this question in the context of what I believe is the deplorable way that the Defence Forces are being treated. How much danger are our soldiers in Syria at the moment?
Well, thankfully, but there has been no engagements. They are in the role with the UN monitoring and protecting the mobile reserve there. That's their primary function. What we mean by that is the Mowags, they have the heavy armour. They're operational 24 hours, 7 days a week. The Austrians were there in 2013. We took over afterwards because there was a few incidents involving the Austrians. A couple of years ago, it was well highlighted. Irish troops had to go in to rescue the Fijian convicts, you know, to get them out of danger. They're well trained, they're well equipped, they're well experienced. It doesn't discount that there is an element of danger out there, but that's, you know, unfortunately, it goes with soldiering. It's a profession that you take up, you accept, you know, there is mitigating risk. Thankfully, it seems to be stable at the moment. No small part of our own presence over there, flying the UN flag, but I'd like to think that we can get our members home. Let's get them home safely.
And on time, Mark, and on behalf of everybody here at Near FM and all our listeners, can I express our gratitude to you and the members of the Defence Forces for the excellent job you do. And I suppose, seeing as we are talking about the UN involvement, the excellent, absolutely pristine image they present of their country when they go abroad on duty. Mark, thank you so much.
Thank you for your kind words and the opportunity again, Bill. Thanks very much. Thank you.
It has been our pleasure. Thank you, Mark. That is Mark Keane, president of PD4A, which represents the Defence Forces. And as you can see, as you can hear from talking to Mark there, it's a subject that we certainly will keep returning to, is the way our Defence Forces are being treated. I think, as he said there, and he put it so eloquently himself, a living wage is all they're asking. They're not asking to be made millionaires for the work they do. A living wage would be sufficient.